Amen. We are certainly blessed to be here. I told you that I was going to be special. Amen. First, giving all praises to God, who is the head of my life. We greet you from the Holy Light Missionary Baptist Church, where the pastor is the Reverend Richmond Brown, and I serve as associate pastor. And we just want to say to the Shiloh family, thank you for everything that has transpired over this past week. We're not going to get into names, because if I do, I'm going to leave somebody out. But just truly know that on behalf of the Holy Light Missionary Baptist Church in South Central Los Angeles, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Amen for everything. We are blessed to be here on another Sunday morning. And I started to think of some things and the message and some things that I would talk about today. And one of the things that came to me was thinking about love. And I Googled, what is love, this morning? And when I Googled what is love, they said that was the most Googled item that is Googled. Now, I don't know who has a job of collecting what is Googled and calculating them, but they said what is love was the most Googled item. And one click on that, I saw what is love, and they had five different people giving a definition of what love is. And the scientist asked him what is love, and he said it is chemistry. The philosopher, when they asked him what is love, the philosopher says that it is a passionate commitment. When they went to the psychotherapist and asked the psychotherapist what is love, he says love has many disguises. When they went to the romantic novelist and asked him what love was, he said love delivers all the great stories. When they went to the Catholic nun said, love is free yet binds us. And in the Bible, it talks about love in the 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And there's many definitions of love. My pastor used to, his favorite definition of love, which I think is a good one, is love is action. But really, really true love is what I'm about to tell you, and let this stick with you. This is what love is. I got up this morning, and there was a text from Los Angeles, California, that said that you are missing this 92-degree weather. And I'm here today to tell you that love is, after receiving that text, still being glad I'm here at Trenton, New Jersey, at Shiloh Baptist Church. That's what love is. Because if that wasn't love, that 92-degree weather that we are all missing in Los Angeles, we would be like, what are we doing here in Trenton? But we're here today. We are blessed to be here. Another celebration for the pastor of this church, my friend, Reverend Darrell Armstrong. And let's give him a hand. 15 years. But it's much more than that. Much more than that. I started coming, I think, 11 years ago, but a lot of relationships have been built more than just pastor to associate pastor. The relationships have been built between members of Shiloh and members of Holy Light, and we're grateful for that. That has been built over this time. So we thank you again for another opportunity. We don't consider it lightly. We don't take it lightly to have an opportunity to stand before you. We realize that many great men and women of God have come before and stood in the place that I'm standing now. So I consider it an honor and a pleasure to be invited back again, because you could just invite us. I would come anyway, even if I wasn't preaching. I'm just glad to be here and to have an opportunity to share with the Shiloh church family. So we are blessed to be here this morning. We thank you for 30 of us that have come from Los Angeles, California, to show love, as I described it earlier. And so we are blessed to be here. Before we begin, we want to certainly continue in prayer for the pastor of the Holy Light Missionary Baptist Church and his family, the Reverend Richmond Brown. And a lot of what you have seen and heard would not be possible if God had not given a vision 55 years ago to a man to establish the Holy Light Missionary Baptist Church. So let's continue to pray for him and his family. Amen. We're here this morning to bring a word to you this morning. How many people were here at 8 a.m. service? There was a few here at 8 a.m. service. They had a wonderful speaker in the Reverend Karen Hernandez. What was that? I won't get that last name right. Granson. And it was a wonderful message. And now, as I stand here, Minister Granson had, Hernandez Granson had a great ability. She had a great ability to do many things. She could, right in the middle of the sermon, start singing. You're not going to get that in this sermon. She had the ability to talk about how she had even become and gotten into praise dancing. Thankfully, you will not see that from me in this sermon. She was able to speak in at least two languages. We got a message in Spanish and in English. You're not going to get that this morning at 11. I have enough trouble just with English. But we are blessed to be here with you this morning. And without any further ado, we thank all the officers of this church, everything that has happened in this church, the choir of Shiloh that has sung my favorite song. I don't know if that was planned, but God works it out. And so we've heard my favorite song. They looked at me like, oh, that's your song. Yep. We've heard a great prayer, Deacon Ross, the prayer by Deacon Ross, the fervent prayer, the praise dancers who you have seen minister. But in any service, you want to get a word from on high. We want a word, and we want a word that we can take with us, not only in here, but we want to take it out into the world. Because I only have so much influence, but everyone here has some influence and can reach out and touch some people that I can't touch. You have family, you have friends, you have coworkers, you have people in your neighborhood in which you can touch them and let them know about God. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand. You won't be standing for long. The Philippians, the first chapter and the sixth verse is the entire text this morning. Philippians, the first chapter and the sixth verse. Paul writes, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And we're going to use as a subject, he's still working in us. Amen. Father, we come now. We thank you for another opportunity to stand before your people. We now ask that I may decrease so that you may increase. Let us have open ears, open minds for the word that has been given from on high. And Heavenly Father, let this word not only touch our hearts, but let us reach out and touch the hearts of others that need a Savior and need a Savior that can bring them out of whatever situation they are in. In the name of Jesus, we do always pray. Thank God and amen. Amen. This God is still working in us. This scripture that is written by Paul, and I we come here from 3,000 miles away in Los Angeles, California, But there is something about Christians that make us all the same. We all come in different sizes. We come in different complexions. We come in different ages. But we are all in the same plight, is that we are all unfinished products. God is still working in us. When you get to the point and you think God can't do anything else with you, you're in the wrong place, because God can still do a great work in you, but you have to make yourself available to God. When Paul wrote this, the first chapter to the church at Philippi, Paul wrote in the first verse, he says, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. So Paul, when he wrote to the church, Paul was writing to everybody. He was writing to the pastors. He was writing to the deacons. He was writing to the officers. He was writing to the saints of Philippi. He was writing to the church. We know that there's a great work that needs to be done outside these walls with those that are unsaved. But those of us that are in the body of Christ, we need to realize that God is still working on us, that we are not yet all that we can be. I know that I have a nice robe on, and also, unlike Reverend Hernandez, who got her robe from Africa, mine was ordered online by the deacons. But in whatever situation, we need to realize first that we need God in our lives. Don't think you done gotten too big for your britches. Don't think that you know too much, been to too many schools, read the Bible through and through, and don't think that God is still not working in you. If he's not working in you, and we're going to talk about that, how to know that God is still working in you. But this scripture in that sixth verse, there's four aspects of that verse we want to talk about today. And we always talk in a number of things that we want to talk about. And it's always good when you hear the number four. If I had said the number 10, you would have got a little more worried. But the number four means we're going to get to these points real quickly, and then we're going to take our seat and you'll be able to proceed with the rest of your service. But we have a word that Paul has written here to the church at Philippi. And the first thing, when you look at this verse, this sixth verse, and when I was going to school, one of the things they had us do was do a sermon on one verse. And I thought, well, wait a minute, you need 5, 6, 7, 8 verses to do a sermon. How can you do a sermon on one verse? And the teacher told us, there's a class called homiletics. And the teacher told us, that's all you got is one verse. And you better come back and give me a sermon from that one verse. So you can do it. God's word is so good. So much in God's word that you can take one verse and glean a whole lot out of one verse. So the verse today, verse number 6 in Philippians, this verse, as I read before, says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So the first thing that we have to realize is, who is he talking about? Who is the author of the work? Paul is not talking about himself. Paul could have easily talked about himself. Paul could have talked about the good work that he did in establishing the church at Philippi. Paul could have said, I was a great missionary who was sent by God to preach the gospel in Philippi. And Paul could have said, I've done a great work here, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. But as we stand before you as men and women of God to bring forth the word, we are not talking about ourselves. If you're talking about yourself, there is not that much to say. But when we're talking about God, we could be up here for hours and hours and hours and tell you about God, but we can't do that. We have to condense it into a short amount of time and tell you about God. But Paul says in this verse, and he says, in which hath begun a good work, he which hath begun a good work. Talking about God, not talking about himself. So God has to begin the work. See, you can't be worked on until God begins the work in you. You know, a lot of us want to do the work. We want to initialize what we want to do and what we want to say and what we want to sing, but it's God's work that we're doing. And we can't even get to points 2, 3, and 4 until we realize that it is God who is the author of the work. The Bible says that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Revelation says he is the Alpha and Omega. Nowhere in there did they talk about us. I was here on yesterday on the message. It's not about us. But sometimes we want to put us into it. But we realize that it's not about us. It's about he who began the good work. It's not surprising that Paul would emphasize that salvation is all of God and not of man. Paul never forgot where he came from. Paul never forgot who he was. Just read the scriptures. You can go to 1 Timothy 5:12-14. And Paul will describe exactly who he was before God came in his life. Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, which has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. See, nobody could talk about Jesus like Paul. Paul was there when Stephen was persecuted. Paul was on his way on the road to Damascus when a light came upon him and knocked him down. And then things changed and a work began in Paul. But Paul, even as many languages as Paul taught, as many books as he wrote, Paul still realized that he was just a sinner saved by grace. Paul could write about God because he had been fighting against him on the road to Damascus. Many of us are still on a road. It might be Damascus, but we're still on a road in which we need to get off of. We're still on a road. If you're not on the road to finding Jesus, you're on the wrong road. So the point of the author of the work, who is the author of the work? The author of the work is God. But the next thing Paul talks about in verse number 6 is the nature of the work. Many of you, I don't know, we may have some teachers in here. Teachers, and I remember in English we had to know about adjectives and adverbs. And it talks about what type of work it is. It says, Paul says, it is a good work. Good work. A good work is a work that you are doing for the Lord. A work that God has put into you is a good work. And when you look at the scriptures, there's a scripture that many of you are familiar with from the book of Jeremiah. The 18th chapter of Jeremiah, it talks about the potter and the clay. And the potter and the clay, and it says, in verse number 1, it says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. And then the good thing about it is Jeremiah heard that, and Jeremiah did just what the Lord told him to do. He said, I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed what? Good to the potter to make it. See, when God gets into the business, he can do a good work. See, represented here, God is the potter. And we are the clay. See, sometimes we get mixed up. We think the clay tells the potter what to do. But scripture tells me that the potter works with the clay. And see, clay, when it gets in the potter's hands, is nothing but a big mess of clay. They take it from the ground and it's just no good for nothing clay. But when it gets in the potter's hands, I studied a little bit about this, and they said even before it gets in the potter's hands, it has to be worked on. And it has to go through some things even before the potter can, has to take some lumps out. Some of us got some lumps we need to take out. You know, we got some warts and we got some lumps, and we're working on them, but we're not quite there yet. But before it gets in the potter's hands, all those lumps, and they have to put some water on it, the lumps, but when it gets in the potter's hands, if you read that scripture, it gets in the potter's hands and it says it's marred. Even though it's taken the lumps out and all those other things, it's still marred in the potter's hands. See, some of us are messed up in the potter's hands. Some of us are moved along a little further, but the potter is still working on us. And when you read that scripture, the potter never takes his hands off the clay. The potter keeps his hands on the clay all the time, and he feels when the clay is going a little loose, and he has to bring it back together. But the potter never takes his hands off the clay. I'm so glad that he leaves his hands on the clay. See, I don't want to go on the shelf because the potter couldn't work with me anymore. So in the nature of the work, it's a good work that's being done, and that God, the potter, is keeping his hands on us. I'm so glad that when we start, it starts going one way or the other. He don't cast the clay out and start working on some new clay. He keeps working on the clay and keeps working on it. Some of us are marred and messed up, but that's all right as long as you're in the hands of the master. When you're in the hands of the master, you still all right. I know things may not be going all right in your life, but as long as you're in the hands of the master, because the song says, put your hands in the hand of the man that steals the water. As long as your hands are in the hands of the man, you all right, because he is still working a work on you. I know all state is good. I know they're the good hands people, but you're in better hands with Jesus. Allstate is all right, but you're in better hands of Jesus. And now when we look, there's the ABCs of becoming a Christian. The A stands for, first, you have to admit you are a sinner. I know some of us can't get by A. You have to admit you are a sinner. And a lot of us don't want to do that. But first, after you get by A and admit you are a sinner, next thing is you got to the B, you got to stand for, and B, believe God loves you and sent Jesus to be your Savior. And then the C of it is you have to stand for, and the C is you got to come to him just as you are. You don't have to fix yourself up. He'll do the fixing. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. That's Jesus. We're trying to do that. We get frustrated in our witnessing because we're not drawing nobody. You just keep doing what you're supposed to do. Jesus will do the drawing. You keep telling them about Jesus. But in the ABCs, there's another part of the ABC is the A, you admitted you are a sinner, you're standing now and believe in God, and now you have come just as you are. Then the next thing that starts happening, and this is part of the message, is spiritual growth begins to happen. And there's an ABC of spiritual growth. A is stand for adversity. A stands for adversity. You got to go through some things in this life. My Bible tells me there are going to be some trials and tribulations. Every day ain't going to be howdy howdy. B stands for Bill. And C stands for character. Put them all together. Adversity builds character. When you put all those, you put the ABCs of accepting God and the ABCs of building spiritual growth, and they come together, then the church becomes stronger. You don't have a lot of pew sitters. You got people doing something for the Lord. And the Lord will work something out in your life. The next thing, the third thing, is there needs to be purpose in your work. It's not enough just to know who God is. It's not enough to know that it's a good work. The next thing, there has to be purpose in your work. And you might say, well, what is my purpose? Everyone here under the sound of my voice has a purpose. You may not know yet what your purpose is, but you have a purpose. You have a purpose to do something for the Lord. The scripture says, being if a good work in you will perform until the day of Jesus Christ. This work, this purpose that you have, it is a continuing purpose. When I came and joined the church at Holy Light, there was someone that had been to the church many years before me. And I had got involved in something, and I had asked them, are you going to get involved in this? And they said, oh, I've done all of that long before you got here. I didn't put in my time. It's time for you to put in some time now. That's not God's word. Now you're starting to talk about us or what you think. There is no retirement plan in the Bible. They have one at UCLA, and I'm going to take full advantage of it. But there is no retirement plan in the Bible. If you in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, even if you get to be 100, there's something that you can do for the Lord. There needs to be purpose in your work. We are being prepared for the day of Jesus Christ when he comes again. The potter keeps his hand on the clay because he's not through with us yet. The song by James Cleveland, please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. See, God is not through with us. I don't care if you elevate to Reverend, Doctor, Bishop, so-and-so. God is not through with you. I don't care if you've gotten to be chairman of the deacon board for the last 25 years. God is not through with you. I don't care if you have sung in the choir for 40 years. God is not through with you. There is still a purpose in your life. There is still some things to be done in your life. The fourth thing, I know you're glad that we're getting to the fourth thing. The fourth thing is in this scripture, it says being confident. Being confident means that there is a certainty to this work. There's no maybes. You know, we often deal in maybes. I might be able to make it. I might be able to do that. But Paul says here that you can be confident of this very thing, that God, when he had begun something, God is going to complete it. God does not start something and not finish. I know sometimes we start some things and we don't finish. We started New Year's. We're going to go to the gym. Every other day, we're going to go to the gym, but we don't finish that. And then the next year comes, and we got to start all over again. I'm going to stop eating some of these things that I've been eating. And I'm going to stop eating all those desserts, but it ain't happened yet. But when God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. He has never missed in doing exactly what he said. And so as we stand as a body of Christ, knowing that God is working in us, how do we know that God is working in us? How do we know that God is in us? Or how do we know that we're just not here and that God is just not working in us? See, first of all, you have to be mindful of the marginalized. when God is working in you. You have to have some concern for some people other than yourself. You got to be concerned about some young people that need to see God in you. You got to be concerned about some people that may not have as much as you have. You got to be mindful of the marginalized. But another thing is, you got to be motivated by the mandates. You got to be motivated by this. This has got to be your motivation, the Word of God. You shouldn't need somebody to motivate you. You shouldn't need somebody, "Can you go do that, sister?" "Well, I don't know." You need to be motivated because the Word of God says that you should do this work of the Lord. Shouldn't be a brother when they come to you, "Oh man, I can't make that today, but I'll see if I can make it next Sunday. I know you need me, but I'm just too tied up." No, you need to be motivated by the Word of God to do all that you can for Christ while you can. And the third thing, when you know that God is working on you, you are be moved to make a meaningful difference. You should be moved to make a difference in the life of the church. And when you do something in the life of the church, you don't know whose life you may be affecting. Someone could have just came on that Sunday and they dealing with something that they just can't deal with. And they see you praise dancing or see you singing and see you lifting your name, your hand up to the Lord. And they say, "No matter what, I see that brother and that sister praising the Lord." No matter what your situation is, we need to realize that we're doing it all for the Lord and not for ourselves. And as we finish up today, we want to realize that we want to do all that we can for the Lord while we can. There's a song, there's a popular song out, and I look at a program called The Voice. I don't know if you look at The Voice, but I don't watch a lot of TV, but I like looking at The Voice because I can't sing and I like to see these people that can sing. And they come from various backgrounds and things that they've been through. And I watched the show religiously and I heard a song on there, and I know the song had nothing to do with Jesus. But I heard the song and the song just hit me. It was a song by Jesse J. And Jesse J was singing this song about masterpiece. And she said in the song, "I still fall on my face sometimes, and I can't color inside the lines." Some of us still can't do that. "'Cause I'm perfectly incomplete. I'm still working on my masterpiece. No, you haven't seen the best of me. I'm still working on my masterpiece." Many of us today are still working on our masterpiece. You haven't seen the best of Deacon Green yet. He's still working on his masterpiece. You haven't seen the best of Brother Brooks here. He's still working on his masterpiece. And you haven't seen the best of Reverend Armstrong. He's still working on his masterpiece. See, years and years ago, I looked back, and there was a man by the name of Abraham. Abraham had no children. And God came to him and said, "You're going to be the father of many nations." Abraham and Sarah listened to God, and Sarah started laughing. But they didn't realize that God hadn't finished with them yet. Abraham hadn't finished his masterpiece. There was a man that came later by the name of Moses. Moses was a man that couldn't speak well. But God said that you're going to be the leader of the people and lead them out of Egypt. Moses said, "Not I, Lord, not me." But Moses didn't realize that he was still working on his masterpiece. There was a shepherd boy. When God went looking for a king, there was a shepherd boy by the name of David. And David, all he was out there tending sheep. All his other brothers looking larger and looking better and looking like kings. But God came and said, when David came, "That's the one. I would need a man after my own heart." David was a little shepherd boy, but David didn't realize that God was still working on his masterpiece. We don't realize how God can work. Daniel was in the lion's den. And Daniel was looking down the jaws of a lion. But God is still working on his masterpiece. There was three Hebrew boys that stood tall for the Lord. And then when they came and said that they had to bow down, they didn't bow down. And then they got put in a fiery furnace. But it was all right because God is still working on his masterpiece. God is still working on his masterpiece. Paul was on his road to Damascus. He was going there to persecute some more Christians. But something happened on the road to Damascus and Paul got knocked down. And when he got knocked down, then the Lord came to him and said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Because now he didn't realize that Saul didn't realize that God was working on his masterpiece. God was going to change Saul into Paul. And that persecutor of Christians was now going to bring more people to the church than had ever been brought before. God is always working on his masterpiece. Over 2,000 years ago, something happened to somebody that you all know named Jesus. Jesus came in the form of a man, came down through 42 generations. And I'm so glad that he did. But there was one more. Jesus did a lot of things. He healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, gave hearing to the dumb. And all kind of things happened in Jesus' life. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He turned water into wine. He did all these things, but I'm so glad that what he did for me and did for you is that he went up on a cross and spread his arms out for me and for you. But he didn't stop there. I'm so glad that all that they did to him, they put nails in his feet and nails in his hand, but he didn't call on all the angels from heaven. I'm so glad that he stayed there. I'm so glad that he stayed there for you and for me. Because he was working on his masterpiece. And the masterpiece did not end there when he died on the cross. And he said, it is finished. The masterpiece came on the third day when he got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hands. That was God's masterpiece. That was his masterpiece for you and for me. I'm so glad that he's still working on his masterpiece. You haven't seen the best of me. I haven't seen the best of you. I know we done had a great week worshiping the Lord, lifting up the name of the Lord, appreciating the pastor. But I'm so glad that God is still working on his masterpiece. He's working on a masterpiece, and that masterpiece will come when he comes again. And when he comes again and we all go up to heaven, there won't be no more dying. There won't be no more sickness. There won't be no more pain because we'll all see God's masterpiece. Let the church say amen, amen, and amen. Let the church say amen. We are certainly blessed. And if you come this way this morning and God is working in your life, and you didn't even know, you might have just came to this church with someone with no idea what you were going to get out of the service. But if there be one today that has not accepted the Jesus Christ that I preached about, I'm telling you, if you come today, he can start working on that masterpiece in your life. He can make a change in you that you've never seen before. If there be one today, yes, yes, Lord, bless you, Lord. There be one. Amen. All you have to do is admit you're a sinner. Believe in Jesus Christ and come to Him as you are. The ABCs. Confess. Yes. There'll be another one. One this morning. You don't know about tomorrow. That's who it is. Jesus. Jesus.